Welcome to Celebration Voices, where each week we talk about personal stories of hope, discovery, and of course, celebration. We will explore how celebrating every day creates a ripple effect that touches friends, neighbors, and strangers. I'm your host, Michelle Schaff. Let's create some ripples. Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining me today for Celebration Voices. In the studio today is Jeffrey Kern. He is the founder of Movie Scores and More Radio and the founder of National Film Score Day, which is on April 3rd. Jeffrey, welcome.
Hey, good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Awesome.
So glad you're here today.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to be here too.
So, you know what? We've talked before.
Yes.
You're the founder of National Film Score Day.
Correct.
And can you tell me more about yourself and what inspired you to start a national day?
Oh, well, a little bit about myself. I live in Highlands Ranch, Colorado. And my wife and I own a little online business. So it's a little small business. And so we've been doing that since 2012. And so that's my day job, as you could say. But, you know, one of my passions is film score music. Actually, my love of film scores came from actually my dad. You know, when I was growing up, my father, his name was Lambert, he was and still is a serious stereophile. He's always loved classical music. He's loved jazz, soul, pop, rock, choral music, and pretty much every musical genre that you can think of. Through his love of music, he taught me to appreciate every piece of music, no matter what the genre was. Mainly, I mostly remember when I was growing up with my dad, he always played amazing orchestral music on a stereo. And he had one of those big 1970s stereos that fit the whole wall. It was wood encased. It was probably 12 feet long with this little turntable in the middle and speakers on the side. But it took up the whole wall. It was pretty awesome.
They were massive.
Yeah. And so what happened was, as I was growing up, he certainly taught me to love a music that I've taken with me all my life. And then in 1977, Star Wars was released. And I already had started to develop a love of classical music. But when Star Wars released, when it was released on vinyl, I immediately gravitated to film score music. It was like, that was amazing. I couldn't get over enough of John Williams' score, and I actually played the LP over and over and over on my father's stereo, and I'm sure it drove probably my mom crazy, but because she loved movie music too, but I played it all the time.
There are worse ways to drive your mom crazy.
But no, we all had a love of music, and my mom and my dad and my brother and all that too. And so John Williams' orchestral masterpiece, he totally and completely mesmerized me at age 11. And for the last 45 plus years of my life, I've been a serious film score fan and lover of this amazing genre. It's so amazing, the talented people that put out this kind of music.
It is. I agree. And that love is what inspired you to create the National Day?
Yes, the love. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what happened was, is as I've been enjoying music, film score music all my life, basically about, this would be the fifth anniversary of National Film Score this year coming up in a week or two. But I wanted to create a national day to commemorate and celebrate not only the awesome film scores themselves, but also the extremely talented composers who they basically tirelessly create these orchestral music masterworks, which give motion pictures their musical heart and soul. And of course, they're on deadlines and all that, and they have to work with directors. And it's really amazing the process, what these composers do to get something so amazing out as their film score music. So once I decided that I wanted to create something called the National Film Score Day, I needed one day in the year that would mean something when it came to the history of film score music. And I was looking and doing my research before I submitted the application for National Film Score Day, and I found out April 3 would be that day. And the reason why I picked that is because on April 3rd in 1942, and actually this is the 80th anniversary of it this year, on April 3rd, 1942, Alexander Korda made a film called The Jungle Book. And it was released, like I said, April 3rd, 1942. And so the composer was Miklos Rosa, who composed the score for the film. And actually, he was nominated for an Academy Award for his efforts. The following year, in 1943, the film's orchestral score It was a recording that was made directly from the film soundtrack and was released entirely on a 78 RPM record album with narration by Sabu, the film star. So the soundtrack became the first commercial recording of a non-musical U.S. film's orchestral score ever to be released, and the album was a great success. And so to celebrate the achievement of the first ever score to be released from a film, I chose the day which the score initially premiered to audiences in theater, and that was April 3rd. And because of the joy film composers have given me and many others in the music that they've created over the last 80 years, I wanted to also celebrate these amazing individuals with a national day in their honor. So that's how I came about National Film Score Day.
And it's a great day. You know, people think about how quickly they can identify a film simply by its score.
Yeah.
And it usually includes the theme, of course.
Yeah.
Or the character's theme, which I think is fascinating.
Yeah.
How the music changes per character. But Star Wars, you mentioned Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
I think most people can identify that one in three notes.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's amazing exactly. How quickly, and not just people, your everyman can, because
yeah.
It's not just music fans and movie fans. It's somebody who's maybe even never seen the movie they can
well,
identify.
Well, actually,
it.
Also, and the reason I wanted to give the composers their day is because people may not be able to tell who the composer is. And many times I don't know what the composer is. I have to look that up. But many people hear the music and they love it, but they don't know who the composer is. But it's such a woven part of our pop culture and mm-hmm. psyche that it just sort of attaches us. And I think without any kind of orchestral score, and this even goes with soundtrack music where it's songs and where it's like singers doing things and all that and recording that. But with the orchestral music, it gives its heart and soul. I mean, could you imagine Star Wars without John Williams' music yeah. or Close Encounters or Howard Shore's trilogy for Lord of the Rings? It's a great combination that just works, and it's glorious when it does work.
And that brings me to my next question, yeah. which is, how do you think the film score for Jungle Book changed movie making going forward?
Well, I think because it came out in 1942 with the movie, it was great. And I think people probably enjoyed it back then. But I think once it was released in 1943 as a separate record sold separately from the movie, I think when it became a success, people, and I can't speak for those in 1942, mm-hmm. but I think those people kind of thought, you know, this is really cool. You know, maybe we want more of that. And I think from that point on, it started to evolve, and here we are today.
Mm, exactly. And with yeah. some phenomenal scores that are out there every year,
so
there's
many.
New ones
yeah.
and wonderful ones.
Yeah. But even if they're maybe not like the top, but they're really good. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, not everything's going to be the top. Not everything's going to be Michael Giacchino or Howard Shore or John Williams, but it's, they put their heart and soul into it, and it's just beautiful music to listen to. And when I ran my radio station, I found that when I added in more music, just all album after album after album, made the station better because you just got an overall view of how music is beautiful and how it affects us. And it was great. And
it's
not just
a couple notes strung together. It's
yeah,
it's an entire composition.
Yeah, it is.
With layers.
Oh, yeah. And not only that, but they write it and then they have to show it to the director and then they have to match it to the music. They have to match mm-hmm. it to the film. And then
into each scene.
Yeah, exactly. Every moment of each scene of every movie. And if it doesn't work, the director says, okay, I don't want to do that. And so the composer has to go back and adjust it. And it's a really organic living organism, if you think about it.
Now, you had mentioned the radio station
yeah.
just a moment ago.
Yeah.
Tell us about what happened there. The National Day comes out.
Right.
And a year later.
So what happened was I started the radio station. It was all a passion project. So my idea was with the radio station was to release or have something that people could go to without advertising, that they could just use it as an escape. And I played movie scores, of course, but the and more, I put in old retro commercials. Although I wasn't playing current commercials, I play retro commercials from stuff from the 70s and 80s. I play movie trailers. I play interviews with composers. And I play TV music, film score music. I play soundtracks, the non-orchestral stuff. And it was great. And I started to build up a following. And so as it started as a hobbyist, you know, you have to pay royalty fees, mm-hmm. which is fine because I think these artists should deserve to get Absolutely. Their fair share. I would buy my own music and do that. So I never downloaded any music that was free. I always paid for it. Mm-hmm. So what happened was, as National Film Score Day was, I think, into its second year, it's like, okay, so here I am. I've got like 30 or 40 listeners normally. And then as soon as the second year came out, it jumped to, I think, 600 to 700 listeners. And what happened was, all the royalty companies had a monthly fee except Sound Exchange. And they would charge based on per listen and per play and all that. So the expense of this little hobbyist station where I didn't want to do any kind of advertising jumped from about $150, $200 a month to about $700 to $800. And I thought to myself, and I was just talking to my wife, Mary, and it's like, you know what? If this thing really takes off, I can't keep it viable. Even with some advertising, it's just not going to work. So unfortunately, I had to shut that down, but I still have the website and I still want to do something with the website, whether it be movie news or movie music news or whatever down the line. I just have to think of something to continue it. And I'm not shutting the door on rebroadcasting. It's just right now, things have to kind of change in the industry. And so I don't fault Sound Exchange at all, or ASCAP and all that. They need to collect the fees for these talented artists, and I love paying them. It's just when it got to be, if you figure out $800 a month compared over a course of a year, it was just, I couldn't attain it. So
became a heavy price for your hobby.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know what? The experience was great. I made a lot of friends. I made friends with composers. I met composers at like San Diego Comic-Con. We flew out, my wife and I flew out to California for John Massari's reimagining of his Killer Clowns from Outer Space. See, when he did Killer Clowns from Outer Space, and when it was originally released, it was all synth. And so he decided to make an orchestral piece out of it. And so what we did, my wife and I flew out and we attended the first presentation of the movie with an orchestra. And so I met John, I met James Horner ages ago at a Field of Dreams kind of thing in Los Angeles. So yeah, it's been great. And the people that love the music, not just the composer, they're awesome people because we all share the love of orchestral music and people. And that's one of the cool things about this day is I never thought people would catch on to it. I thought, okay, so it was kind of a passion project, just like the radio station, to come up with a day, but seeing people talk about it and sharing all their love of music, it's really cool.
I agree. It is really cool. Not only do you get to talk about the music and the names behind the music,
yes,
but you get to revisit the movies and then focus. Maybe you don't normally focus on the music when you first go into the theater.
Right, right.
But when you attach that to what's going on the screen, you understand why the music's there.
Yeah, it really works together well. And I mean, it's just a wonderful thing. And just imagine your favorite movies without the music, and it mm-hmm. just wouldn't work. It wouldn't be as powerful as they are. And I think that's what gives movies their power, to envelop all of us and make us fans. The director's great, the actors are great, but without the music working in concert with everything else, it kind of falls short. So it all works, and it's just a wonderful thing to behold and listen to, not only when you're in the theater, but, you know, getting the music afterwards on CD mm-hmm. or LP. Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree. So I'm going to switch gears. I like to do this once in a while.
Sure.
I'm going to give you three names.
Okay.
Call my pick one.
All right.
Do the pick one. And I'm going to give you three names. You're going to pick one, and then I'm going to ask you a question.
All right.
Okay. So I've got John Williams.
Okay.
James Horner.
Mm, yeah.
And is it Adam Silvestri?
Alan Silvestri.
Alan.
Yeah.
Alan I can't Silvestri. Read my writing.
No, that's okay. Yeah. I would probably pick John Williams since I'm I love that guy.
All right.
In his music.
I've got four movies here.
Okay.
One of them he did not do the score for. Which one was it? Harry Potter, Star Wars, Titanic, Jurassic Park.
Titanic.
Yeah, you picked the easy one.
That's okay.
I had a tough one here.
Well, we can try that.
You want to try it?
Yeah, why not?
That was Alan Silvestri.
Yeah.
Okay, that was my tough. In my opinion, it was the tough one. Okay, so which one did Alan Silvestri not write the composition for? Forrest Gump, Cast Away, Saving Private Ryan, and Polar Express.
I'm not that much into it.
I told you this was the tough one.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. So what did Alan Silvestri not do?
Which one did he not do?
Can you repeat that list again?
One more time.
Yeah.
Forrest Gump, Castaway, Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, Saving Private Ryan. Yeah, that was John Williams.
Good job.
Yeah, sorry.
I am so impressed. Well done.
Thank you very much.
I need an applause sound effect there. Okay. I want to swing back to the National Day for just a moment. The image that you had created for that day is one of those images that we have not changed on our website.
Right, right.
Because it was original.
Yeah.
And I think it's fantastic. So anybody can go out to National Day calendar, April 3rd,
yep,
and go to National Film Score Day and take a look at the image. Is that your brother that
Yes.
designed that? Yeah. Can we give him a shout out real quick?
Oh, yeah, that's fine. And also Titanic was done by James Horner.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I should have given that. James Horner definitely did Titanic. And then actually, I didn't write down the name for Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, that's John Williams did that one.
Was it John Williams? Yeah. Yeah. I was going to draw arrows and things like that. Yeah, it was John Williams that did that. Yeah. So what was your brother's name?
My brother's name's Corbin Kern, C-O-R-B-Y-N Kern. And he's been a graphic artist and a sort of a pop culture artist, comic artist for, geez, he was drawing when I was a kid. We used to come home from school and we both used to draw back in, you know, first grade. So, I mean, he's been drawing all his life. And he does really everything by hand, but it's photorealistic drawings of pop culture, movie, music, stars, and all that. And a lot of people have said to him is that you can't be doing this freehand. There's just no way because you're using, the images are too good. And so what he's had to do the last few years is he's had to show the process. So he actually shows himself doing it. But yeah, it's a pretty amazing, he's a tremendous artist. His website is cskern.biz. So cskern.biz. And you can see all his work there. I can tell over the years how he's developed because you can see those little nuances that he's improved on as he's become better as an artist. It's just an evolution and he does a great job with eyes. Some artists don't capture the eyes well, and it's amazing how he makes the eyes look alive. It's really cool. Yeah.
I remember going out to his website when we were working on the National Day. And we were we hadn't seen the image yet.
Yeah,
we hadn't seen what he'd created for National Film Score Day yet. And we're like, oh my goodness, this is going to be fabulous. And it was. He did not disappoint.
And
it's a great image.
Yeah, unfortunately, the original image we wanted to use had five composers on the picture. Mm-hmm. And I remember at the last second or like a couple days before the National Day launch, it's like I was thinking, you know, I don't have the image rights to do that. And as much as I wanted to have, I think it was John Williams, Ennio Morricone, I'm drawing a blank on the other three. I'm sorry.
I don't quite remember them all either, but
yeah,
I do know.
But it was like a Mount Rushmore of film score music. And I was thinking, you know what? We don't have that. I don't want National Day calendar to get in trouble by doing that. So I called up my brother and says, Corbin, I love your stuff. This is awesome. Like, I wish I could use it, but could you come up with something that's not with anybody's image? And so he came up with what we have today. And I love that as well. But man, I wish I could share that.
Job.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hesitant to share it because I don't have the rights and it's not fair. I've tried to getting the rights on a couple and it's been hard to do that. So I kind of put it aside. Maybe in the future I'll be able to talk to somebody or there. And the thing is the living composers can be difficult to get because, you know, who am I to approach them with that? But it's the estates and all that of the families that of the past composers that are really difficult to get to. So, you know, no worries. It's just, I absolutely love what he did for the current National Day.
I do too.
Yeah.
So what are some of your favorite film scores? We've talked about John Williams and a few others here at the moment.
But right.
What are some others?
All right. Well, I mean, I have a whole bunch of favorite ones.
And why? I want to know why, too.
Because, you know, the ones I list, and then throughout the decades, there have been just great, like Bernard Herrmann, just great composers of the past. But the composers that I kind of gravitate toward me have kind of just, they just capture what I love in music. And they speak to me. I guess in a simple term would be they speak to me maybe more than others. Now, I'm not trying to minimize what the others have done, but the composers that I like, all of them just kind of touch me in a certain way with my musical love. And so, I mean, of course, John Williams is my favorite composer, and it's a list of what's what in movies. You have Star Wars, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Jurassic Park, Schindler's List, 1941, which wasn't critically acclaimed, but his March from 1941 is one of my favorite pieces of orchestral score music ever. One of my, and my favorite one's the Imperial March from the Star Wars trilogy, the Star Wars franchise. That's my all-time favorite piece of music for movies.
I'm humming it in my head.
Because when you hear it, you know what it's about.
And it's dark.
It's dark and
foreboding.
Exactly, exactly. And then you have Home Alone, Jaws, even Empire of the Sun, Superman, the three Harry Potter films he scored, Saving Private Ryan, Hook, E.T., Far and Away, and so many others of his scores. And that just touches the surface. He's just an amazing artist, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. And so,
and they all, his flexibility in the movies that you just described are all, they're all different.
Yeah, yeah.
The mood is different. The setting is different. The tone.
Yeah, I think of all the other, you asked me why I like certain, I think he captures my imagination more than, I'm not saying the other ones don't do that. Like another one of my favorite composers is Howard Shore, and his Lord of the Rings trilogy, which is The Fellowship, The Two Towers, and Return of the King. I think his scores are just phenomenally brilliant. And it touches me in a way, like it does all the many other people that enjoy movie score music. I also like Michael Giacchino, his scores for like Rogue One, which I think he had to complete within 3 weeks. But time might be wrong on that because he was called to do that and he had such a rush job on it. And it's a really awesome piece of work. And he really continues. I think he was the first composer to do something Star Wars besides John Williams. And I think he did it complete justice. Michael Giacchino is tremendous. I also like Speed Racer, The Incredibles. And if I can throw one non-movie score out there, it would have to be Michael Giacchino's Lost. The show ran for 6 seasons and 121 episodes, and his job, Michael Giacchino's job on Lost, is tremendous. It's just really good stuff. Then I like Danny Elfman.
I watched that entire, all 6 seasons of that too. Couldn't miss it. Didn't have DVR then.
other composers I like are Danny Elfman. I love his Mars Attacks, his Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Midnight Run, Beetlejuice, all the Men in Black 1, 2, and 3 films, and of course Batman from 1989. And then I have Jerry Goldsmith, who unfortunately is no longer with us. He passed away a few years ago. But his scores from Alien, Capricorn One, Hoosiers, Rudy, Patton, the original Total Recall from 1990, I love those things too. Like I said, they kind of capture, and I think about the composers that I've just listed, and they're all sort of in the fantasy sci-fi realm, although they've done more stuff. And
they have
I think those things hit me, and I just love that kind of music. And also, Jerry Goldsmith did my favorite all-time Star Trek film, and that was Star Trek First Contact. I thought it was his music writing for that. One of the reasons why I liked Star Trek First Contact is it seems like, and a lot of people say Wrath of Khan is their favorite, which is awesome. But I lean much more toward First Contact because while Wrath of Khan was more of an adventure and kind of a revenge kind of movie, you know, define justice and all that. First Contact kind of goes back to what Star Trek was about. It's the hope for the future, as it talks about the first contact as we reach into the universe and all that. And it gives hope for it lays the foundation for the rest of Star Trek. And so that's another example is if Jerry Goldsmith does not put that music out there, I don't know if it would be as impactful for me personally. But yeah, I love Jerry Goldsmith's stuff. And other composers, just briefly, would be Ennio Morricone, Alan Silvestri, Silvestri, who did Back to the Future, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and Judge Dredd, Basil Poledouris, who did, Hunt for Red October, RoboCop, and I love Starship Troopers. He did such a great job on that. And like I said, John Massari, who reimagined his Killer Clowns Orchestra decades later. I may be butchering this name, but it's Joe Hisaishi, who scores a lot of the Miyazaki Studio Ghibli films, the animated like Spirited Away, Howl's Moving Castle, I think it is, and a whole bunch of others from Studio Ghibli. And to round it out would be Michael Kamen, Hans Zimmer, and James Horner.
Oh, great.
I don't want to leave out anybody, but yeah, I could probably give you just a list.
Go on
yeah.
forever.
Go on forever, yeah. Well, you're talking about 80 plus years of music. Mm-hmm. And so, geez, going back to I can't remember who did the Ten Commandments, but that's a great score. Just going back in the history, and I'm more, you know, I'm looking at the way I like things with a movie score, and I appreciate the past, and I love the music from the past, but it seems like the more current composers have done just speak to me a little bit more than maybe the older ones, and I just love it all. There's nothing wrong with that, with the older composers, past and present, but yeah, it's all good. It's just
still a great list. Yeah, it's a wonderful list. So spinning off of this just a little bit, then if you could attend any red carpet movie premiere, what would it be and why? And I'm assuming it's going to have something to do with the music.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, anything in history, right? Or
anything
throughout history? Yes. Mm-hmm. Wow, just for the music,
It doesn't have to be just because of the music, but it could be because of the film or
right.
who's in it or who directed it or any of those reasons.
I would probably go with Close Encounters of the Third Kind when it appeared at the ArcLight. I absolutely love that movie. I believe when it premiered at the Cinerama Dome in Los Angeles at the ArcLight. I believe I've seen pictures where they actually had the mothership there in the lobby.
That's a good choice.
Yeah, and I think they had the space jockey too on Alien as well in the lobby as well. The giant space jockey that plays a big part in that movie and the rest of the Alien films. But I think they had the life-size space jockey that was used in the film there too. You know, boy, I just love movies and it's hard to pick past. You'd go back to 70s and 80s and 90s current day and big releases would always be fun to go to.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay. So a question we ask everyone is what does celebrate every day mean to you?
Well, to celebrate every day, it's really cool. It's a cool concept because honestly, to celebrate, I celebrate the many things that make life worthwhile through a national day calendar. And there are many national days. They're all throughout the year. Some are very serious causes, and that's mm-hmm. fantastic. And some are celebrating fun things. And what I like is that kind of represents life. And it's sort of, there are serious things we have to think about and do, and then there are fun things we can do too. And when the serious days come up, it makes you reflect on those days and maybe the people that are going through those things. And then when you do the fun days, like let's say National Donut Day, which is on June 3rd, it's fun to go out and celebrate with eating a donut or three of them and mm-hmm. all that. But yeah, it's really cool. It's sort of a reflection of life in a way. And that's kind of cool.
I like that, your thought on that.
Yeah.
How the calendar does represent life.
Yeah, it does.
The ups and downs of life, but it's still a celebration of all of those things at the same time.
And the serious stuff is wonderful. The people that are going through the serious stuff, it's nice to know that they're not alone when you think of these things. You may not be able to talk to people that are going through those things, but by having a day like that, you can think about those people and you know, feel for them and hope if it's something bad, hope they get better or whatever. So, mm-hmm. yeah. So every day is great, serious and the fun.
Do you have any last words for me?
Any last words?
Anything you want to share that I missed out on?
Not really. I think that my last words for National Film Score Day is that, number one, I first of all, thank you very much for having me on. I love talking about National Film Score Day. It's a fun day and I hope people enjoy it. And you know, as the creator of National Film Score Day, when National Film Score Day comes around on April 3rd, I'll probably be listening to classical music or classical orchestral film music. I'll be online and I try to interact with as many people as I can on Facebook and Twitter. But, you know, one of the cool things about creating it is that you see people really enjoying it. And I'm still taken aback by it because it's mm-hmm. just cool to see people have the same kind of love for the music that I love. Yeah. And I appreciate everybody that love. I appreciate the composers, the ones I mentioned, and the many, 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 many more that are out there that I don't have time to do, but they're all great. And the music just is fantastic too. So thank you to the composers. Thank you to the fans. And I hope everybody enjoys National Film Score Day.
Jeffrey, thank you so much. Yes, National Film Score Day, April 3rd. Go check it out. Share your favorite film score or discover who the composer was.
Oh, yeah, or discover new music.
Yeah.
You know, on Twitter, when you go on Twitter and people tweet about, and one of the things that kind of surprised me was actually the first couple of years, and I think even now, composers, they actually tweet out to other composers. Which is really cool. I mean, that's really neat. So that's very cool.
Have you had any composers contact you as a result of
that? When I had the radio station, they would contact me to play their music, and I did. I've met a few composers over the years. Like I said, I went to L.A. to see John Massari, and that was a great time. I met Michael Giacchino at a San Diego Comic-Con, and I actually asked him, what of all the works that you've done, and this is 4 or 5 years ago, so not any of the current stuff, of all the works that you've done, what do you think is your personal favorite? He said Lost, which I thought was really cool. It's not the movie. It was,
you connected
it was
a TV. On that.
Yeah, yeah. And so he was just great. He was there signing at San Diego Comic-Con. I met James Horner many, many years ago. And currently, without the radio station, not really many other composers reach out because the radio station is not there. But they communicate, let's say, through Twitter and Facebook. So I converse with them there, and I just enjoy
that. Everybody should celebrate the day. Go to social media, use the hashtag National Film Score Day, and see who's out there talking.
Yeah.
You might even get to talk to Jeffrey.
Yeah, and you can also learn a lot about the music you may not have known of. Because people will post their loves, and it goes back decades. And so if you're unfamiliar with certain artists, take down the names, look them up, and go on your music service of choice and search them out. Because I know the journey will be great, but the end result and hearing it will be a lot, be much nicer too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Again, thank you so much, Jeffrey, for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
Celebration Voices loves having you.
Oh, thank you.
And until next time,
yes.
Maybe we'll do this again.
Yeah, that would be great. I would love that. Thank you.
Thanks again.
Yeah, thank you very much. Have a great day.
And now we welcome back our sound engineer, Chris Vandeventer, a.k.a. the Sound Wizard. He gives us a quick peek at what we're celebrating next. So, Chris, what day should we check out next week?
All month long in April, we will be lighting things up blue to promote Autism Awareness Month. Starting on Sunday, we pick up where the Oscars left off and celebrate all things cinematic with National Film Score Day. We go off-roading on Monday with Jeep 4x4 Day, and April 5th celebrates the date humans first make contact with the Vulcans in 2063. Since it's National Library Week, we celebrate mobile libraries with National Bookmobile Day on Wednesday. Thursday, we kick back with the Cerveza for both National Beer Day and National Burrito Day. On Friday, we embrace our inner Dr. Doolittle for Zoo Lovers Day. Finally, we wrap up the week with a celebration of the imagination on National Unicorn Day.
Thanks, Chris. Be sure to visit nationaldaycalendar.com for the complete list of observances. Share your Celebrate Everyday Stories with Celebration Voices by contacting us at celebrationvoices@nationaldaycalendar.com. We'd love to hear how celebrating every day has changed your life, inspired you, or given you hope. Celebration Voices is a production of National Day Calendar.